Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show. This is Bill. Tonight's show is a continuation of the hauntings subject we were on the week before last. Apologies for not being on air last week as scheduled. We had to cancel due to unforeseen circumstances, but we are here today. So please sit back, enjoy the show. If you want to give us a call, give us a call on Skype number 347-258421. That's 347-258421. Enjoy the show, and we'll be back very soon.
me okay on here?
Yeah, I can.
You can?
I can hear you. I don't know what it sounds like.
Out there?
No.
You know, it's weird. I think we've got to get a new headset because I can only hear on one side of this. And for a moment there, I was like, if I lost hearing in one side.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. The chat room is open if anybody wants to join us. We have, oh my goodness, I just feel so discombobulated. Not as bad as I usually feel, but that song is one of my favorite songs in the world. It's called Willow Song, and it's from the movie The Wicker Man, the real Wicker Man, not that weird thing that Nicolas Cage did. So weird. Yes, with Christopher Lee. Yeah. Yeah. We have some people in the queue, so we see you guys. We see you guys. When we do take a call, we're going to take the caller from 919 first, just to give you guys a heads up. But, okay, so everybody's pretty much together again. We're not falling apart anymore. That was something that you can say something back to.
Oh, that is correct.
Okay.
I'm having some connection issues today.
You
are? Internet. Yeah, well, the internet seems to be slow. I've lost my tabs and I have to open them up again. I don't know what's going on, but...
Well, we're gonna. We hope the show doesn't... You know, it's the Mercury retrograde. It's starting in 3 days. And so we've been in the shadow for a little bit for anybody who's been wondering why people have been weird and why things have been so strange. So, you know, if we lose the show a zillion times, it's because, well, there you go. But hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But today's topics are about male's hole.
What? It is? I thought we were doing haunting.
We don't haunt male's hole?
No.
I just wanted to say that word, that phrase.
It will happen eventually. We'll talk about it at some point. It's just not happening yet. So.
We're not talking about male's hole, everybody. There's like a huge sigh of relief. But, yeah, share with us what you were going to talk to us about.
Well, one of the most popular stories in this past week has been the Russian meteorites, which was exciting. Some people, I think the last count was 1,200 people were injured from the Russian meteorites. I presume everybody's heard about this. But if you haven't, it happened on the 15th. And that was Friday morning. It happened in somewhere called Chelyabinsk. I don't know how to say that, but the injuries were mainly caused by falling glass, I believe, because of the sonic boom from the meteorites caused windows to break. And you can check out the videos on YouTube. I think there's one on the Russia Today channel, which is about 24 million views last time I checked it. Well, it's got a compilation of dash cam footage. And you can hear the explosion. Did you see that video?
I didn't see it.
Have you heard about it?
About the video itself or about the event?
The meteorite, yes.
Well, since there's somebody who won't let me not hear about meteorites, then yeah, I've heard about the meteorite. I heard about it from you.
Very good.
Just now. I'm just kidding. You know what?
So, yeah, I mean, you check that out. And certainly, I know there was a bigger, like an asteroid that was supposed to be passing by, and they said it wasn't related to that. But who's to say? Well, from what they were saying, it was they found pieces, fragments of the meteorite. I believe it landed in a lake. And it contained 10% iron sulfide, something called olivine. But they reckon it's from a meteorite from the asteroid belt, taken by its composition. But it's cost them quite a bit of money to start to sort out the repairs and that, because of all the windows that were smashed.
Wow.
The meteor was 17 meters across and weighed 10,000 tons. What? The explosive energy was nearly 500 kilotons. Is that right? 17 meters across.
How big is that? That doesn't sound very as big as I thought it would be.
17 meters, well, that's still quite large, you know. 17 meters across, that's like... I don't know. I mean, I can't think of anything in comparison. Maybe, I don't know, 8 cars lined up? End to end, maybe?
I don't know. For some reason, I was expecting it to be like, you know... like as big as a house or something. You know what I mean?
Well, some people's houses are 17 meters across. My house isn't even 17 meters across. I was expecting it to be the size of a rugby ball or something, you know?
Oh, you were thinking it was going to be smaller. I was expecting it to be like, oh my gosh, it's a planet! You know, I was expecting something pretty... big.
Yeah, I think it would have been worse than that, but I don't know whether that's right, 17 meters across.
Well, that's what they're saying it is.
And weighed 10,000 tons. I don't know about that. That doesn't seem right. Not that I'm a meteorologist or anything, but I don't know. I'd have to double check on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to, you know. But I believe I've read somewhere as well, government makes fireball info gathering classified. For 15 years, scientists have used data gathered by U.S. satellites of natural fireball events in the Earth's atmosphere, but no more. A recent U.S. military policy decision now explicitly states that the observations by government spacecraft of incoming fireballs are classified, secret, and not to be released. What's that all about?
Well, maybe we don't need to know unless we need to know.
I'd like to know. But it just shows, that, I guess, that the, you know, I guess that they weren't really prepared for that. And it could have probably, you know, if it was even bigger, it could have ended up in death. And it just shows that, you know, we are quite fragile on this earth.
So we better appreciate what we have and who we know.
That's right. But I also read that Russia is supposed to spend billions on an asteroid defense. Moscow believes an operable national defense against threats from outer space can be built within 10 years' time. The 500 kiloton explosion of space bolide above the Urals region has sped up allocation of some $2 billion to prevent future threats.
On Futurama, they had the threat of a giant, huge ball of trash hitting Earth. Because they were throwing their trash into the air, you know what I mean? They were getting their trash compiled up and they would send it out into the atmosphere. And so they had to make a bigger pile of trash and shoot that up into the air to try to get it to not hit the Earth. So maybe we need to create a big, gigantic ball of trash.
I'm glad you're not, in charge of national defense.
Why?
Never mind.
Well, what would they do except create something to knock it out of the way, or maybe?
Well, of course, they'd fire something out. They wouldn't be firing rubbish at it. Would they? Piles of trash and stuff. Why would they do that?
Because it'll burn up in the atmosphere. Well, I don't know. Never mind. It doesn't make any sense what I just said.
Right. Thank you.
Because it would just burn up in the atmosphere and wouldn't hit the earth if that's what the trash was going to do, would it? Oh, you trump me with my own reasoning. Go on, I'm sorry.
Also in the news, Australian children are to be banned from blowing out candles together on birthday cakes because they could be putting germs onto one another. And is what's seen as an attempt to bubble wrap children, youngsters attending birthday parties will be told to take along individual cupcakes on which to place single candles. The extraordinary new guidelines from the country's National Health and Medical Research Council has provoked an angry response from parents who say the nanny state is trying to stay cold out of birthday parties. Even doctors say the birthday rules are going too far, because children are also now expected to wash their hands before jumping into a sandpit to play with their friends. Daycare staff will also be instructed to wash toys, doorknobs, floors, and cushion covers every day to prevent the spread of germs. Well, I ain't got a problem with the last bit. Washing the toys and doorknobs and floors and that, I think that needs to be done. But I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm going to tell you, to be honest, to be honest, though, I haven't been lighting birthday candles on cakes for a long time because of that very reason. A lot of people don't, but I don't think that we have sat around and made and everybody said, okay, this is what we're going to do. And not only that, but even as a kid, I wouldn't really eat a cake that somebody was blowing the candles out on. And I love cake, but I don't know what it is. And I never would bob for apples. I never would do any of that stuff because it was just, I could already see that it was just nasty. It was gross. If you're not the first person to bob for apples, you're never going to get, no, just one person would bob for apples, and the rest, everybody else was like, okay, gross, I'm not doing that. So, But honestly, the easiest thing to do is to just not have a lit cake.
Well, I think there's going to be more chance of getting germs than having a conversation with somebody. So next is in the conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I understand what
more
you mean.
More chance of probably spittle coming out of their mouths on hard peas and stuff rather than someone, blowing some candles out. I don't know. I mean,
it's just one of those
things. I don't remember ever getting ill from birthday cake, but,
Well,
It is just an experience.
Well, I don't want to insult anyone when I make this comment, but all my life I have seen people that I know very well coughing at the table, sneezing and not even covering their noses up. And so for me, since I was very young, I've just been used to saying whatever and throwing my food away because I just already saw how people would do, talk and let stuff fly or coughing and sneezing at the table and not even turning their head or covering their nose. When I sneeze, if I don't have anything right away, I put my fapes in my shirt or I put, I'm always doing something because I'm concerned about how other people feel about that, But anyway.
Yeah, I have people most days that, just come up to you and just cough straight in your face without moving the mouth and stuff.
Yeah.
It's so rude. And sometimes you think to yourself, are they doing it on purpose?
I just really don't think that some people. I mean, I'm telling you. Just recently, I was eating something that was so delicious, and someone who was sitting like next to me sneezed. And not only did they make sure that they didn't sneeze on their own plate, they made sure they sneezed on mine. You know, and it's just all you have to do is just cover your face up. You know, so but anyway.
Some pretty disgusting things. One time I was sitting in work and my hand on the counter and somebody come along to put their head on my hand and said, "Oh, so tired." Anyway, when they lifted their head back up, one of their blackheads had pulled out of their head and was stuck to my hand.
Oh, please, let's not talk about this anymore.
All right.
Because it is so nasty. Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Let's take a caller. Let's talk about hauntings and ghosties.
All right.
Does that sound good to you?
That is fine. I do apologize for seeming a bit strange in that. I do have a bad headache at the moment, so if I seem a bit of a satellite delay in my brain.
Okay. All right. So the next song I'm going to play is going to be one that's really awesome, trying to keep everybody in a nice mood. But this is Broken Earth Radio. If you want to give us a call, our number is 347-215-8421. The chat room is open.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Aaron, and for the past 3 years, my trusted guide and friend, Nunu, has helped me along the journey of change and growth. Her sincerity and clear insights have brought new understandings and developments to my life. I am proud to know her, to be her client, and to have her support in my life. Thank you, Nunu.
We're back. You know, I'm out of incense.
Yeah, I've been waiting alone for ages. Normally I got like a big pack, like 144.
Yeah.
But recently I've just been getting like one at a time.
Well, you used to keep me like in boxes of them. And I just looked down here and I have just used my last one. It's crazy. Yeah. You know, that guy Aaron, that ad, you know, he's asked me to marry him and his fiance.
It's going to be like a three-way relationship.
So that's going to be pretty interesting.
So you're going to do it?
To perform their ceremony. They actually wanted you to perform it, to be honest. But that is something else. So then so I was actually their second choice.
Yeah.
Anyhow, let's take the call at 919. We'll talk about that later. But 919, this is Broken Earth, Nunu and Bill. How can I help you?
Hi. All I just want to say if an asteroid or meteor was coming my way, I want to know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That kind of freaks me out
that,
you know, the policy is not to tell us. But anyways, a little freaky.
Yeah.
I like the way you put that, because I was actually thinking of, like, if it had already hit and there were some things about it that may make people panic. But, you know, the way you put it, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Who's this? What's your name?
My name is Becca.
Well, Becca, it's nice to speak with you. Have we spoken to you before?
Yes, we have spoken before, and you're always right on target. Always.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Your timing has been right on course. And I do have a question. You had talked about my I was in a long-term relationship, and mm-hmm. we've been broken up for coming up on a year, and you had mentioned he'd come and go, which he had in between, like talk to me and then quit and then started up again.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that his relationship, he kind of got in a relationship since then, would be ending by the end of February, and I believe that is on course because he is, you know, he is contacting me. However, I was laid off on Friday, and I tried to call him and he didn't pick up, and I emailed him and it's like, you know, I was let off, you know, let go, and he responded, and then I had sent him a text about it, and he responded yesterday. He never called me, which was kind of weird because we, you know, we have been in contact, and I didn't know if that was going to change things, that I lost my job, and will he be supporting me because or around and helping me through this time because he is, you know, capable.
Right. Well, as far as you're concerned, because that's really what matters right now is, you know, just your security's sake, period. As far as you're concerned, you know, with you working, I am seeing you able to find something over, like, just the next 3 or 4 weeks, okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, so that's going to be something that it's going to, I mean, you got to put one foot in front of the other, but I do see you completely able to accomplish that, completely. Now, as far as he's concerned with you, you know, the sort of thing that I'm seeing him doing here is you know, feeling frustrated for you. If you need any help, I mean, I do see him, you know, willing to assist you.
Yeah,
but I'm
yeah.
not seeing him offer, really. It's one of those things where you may have to actually say something.
Yeah.
And
I, you know, I'm okay,
by
the way. You know, I'm okay. I'm just like,
yeah.
you know, freaking out. What,
yeah.
what if?
Yeah, right. Oh, and I understand completely. I remember, excuse me, that was weird. Anyway, I remember having this job and them calling me up and saying, well, you know, we decided we want to do something different. And so I remember freaking out completely. You know what I mean? And
oh yeah,
and, I'm saying this actually to be inspirational to people, but I remember wigging out, and I didn't have a job for like 2.5 hours. but the thing is, it's like when you get that thing where somebody's saying we're going to go a different way, you're like, oh my no, you know, and you know you're already homeless in your head and. You know, you're starving.
Yeah. Where, yeah.
You know, you're thinking about all these things that you're going to end up having to do. And then, but, you know, you just have to put one foot in the other in front of the other and do it. But it's funny to me because when people say, how long did you not work? I was like, 2.5 hours. You know, but the thing is, I mean, you just have to really, you know, you just have to plug. And so literally I was freaking out for about 30 minutes. For 2 hours I was laying on it and I found it. Some people it may take a little bit longer just depending on what you do. So you just got to remember that as long as you plug, you can do it. You can do it. You just got to keep pumping your fist in the air like you're listening to some Bon Jovi song. But, you know, you're living on a prayer.
Well, I mean, it was kind of the same thing because I've been, you know, people are like, well, contact me here and, you know, you can even work here or this. And I mean, there's already lots of opportunities, but I'm still like in the
yeah.
middle of my freak out, like, hand me the ice cream. I'm like, you know.
Yeah, you may just want to have your pity party, and that is totally cool to have it, you know. But just remember, in the end, everybody's still going to be going, okay, did you get a job yet? And it's like 5 minutes later, and they're asking you that question.
Is it going to come through to someone I know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, through a connection.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I see you doing what you need to do to get a job, but then somebody's like, hey, you know, and it's going to let you know that something's open. So, and like I said, it's just over like the next 3 or 4 weeks. So I kind of wanted
a bigger vacation than that. Wink, wink.
Appreciating. I'm just kidding. No, but I'm telling you, I still see the situation with you and your friend, you know, coming around, and you know, everything is just he just has to itchy the domino.
Yeah,
he
I just didn't want this to like freak
that.
Him, you know, out completely. Because this would freak him out, you know. He worries. So.
Right. Yeah.
And he doesn't like worry, so he will run.
Yeah, a lot of them will.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, thank you so much.
And by the way, I'm having a big birthday coming up, and I will not be blowing out candles, but basically not because of germs, because it's a fire hazard.
If you do, cover it with plastic.
So you can come to my birthday and eat cake and be safe.
I'm telling you. I remember I cried at all my birthday parties until I turned 6 or 7. Because all the pictures of me before that were me sitting in front of a cake with candles lit, bawling my eyes out because everybody was sitting. Birthday, and everybody's like, she's too young to be so afraid of getting old. I'm serious. I was just freaking out because it was my birthday, and everybody was singing, and I hated it. And then blowing out the candles, I hated that. And so usually somebody had to do it for me because I just didn't want to. But But after that, I mean, I just didn't have candles anymore. And I'm telling you, if somebody ate, you know, say, I always had this aversion to that. But that was just me being a kid. But even now, with my own kids, I will just put how old they are on the cake, like a candle of their age, light it. Or they don't get candles at all, you know, and because nobody wants to eat after that. Well, that's in my head. That's what I'm so paranoid. I'm a germaphobe.
Well, now every time I hear that song, it's my party, and I'll cry if I want to. I'll think of you.
They used to always sing that to me, which is so funny. But I'm telling you, I would sit there bawling and bawling with my fists in my mouth, you know, and there's all these pictures of me crying my eyes out.
Well, everybody's singing up and happy birthday, spitting all over you and spitting all over your cake.
Ask Bill, yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah, Bill,
so.
Next week you play that song for her. Give us all a good laugh.
All right. All right.
Okay, y'all have a good one.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you, sweetheart.
Bye-bye.
Okay, tell us a ghost story. Scare us.
Already?
That's
a pretty scary story.
Okay.
Findus Lasagnas.
I just totally missed what you just said.
Well, the horse meat scandal is continuing.
Oh, yes.
Findus Beef Lasagna. Findus, one of the most popular brands of frozen food, has withdrawn 180,000 lasagnas from sale after carrying out tests on meals from a French supplier that had raised concerns. The frozen food company found that 11 out of 18 ready meals, which were advertised as containing 100% beef, were actually between 60% and 100% horse meat.
Oh,
lasagna was sold by Tesco, Asda, and Morrisons. Findus said it did not know how long the product had been on the shelves, but admitted that they had been supplying meat for its lasagnas for more. Oh, sorry, stuff. Anyway, skip that. Blah blah blah. Tesco has also withdrew its everyday value spaghetti bolognese, which it said had been supplied by the same plant in France for 5 months.
Oh, that's what I thought you were saying. It's French. Well, you know, the French. A lot of French people or a lot of French places, they eat meat. They eat horse meat.
Well, somebody I know said that that spaghetti bolognese is actually really good. Horse bolognese isn't too bad, actually.
Well, if they would just advertise it for what it is, maybe people would still eat it. I don't know. I know that I went to get Greek food, and where they normally would say it was lamb, they were saying that it was beef with a little bit of lamb in it. So apparently somebody's gotten onto them about not having their lamb not being lamb.
Well, I guess we don't know what's in our food, really, unless we have our own little kits to test everything, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
So,
were you going to tell us something about a haunting?
All right, God. haunting. Well, you know, we can get onto that subject. I mean, I told you before, I had a dream last night. I was ghost hunting with Tech N9ne and Chris Calico. That was weird. But I am going ghost hunting on Saturday the first time, which will be interesting. You know, the weird thing is, it feels like something there's expecting me, like I'm being drawn there, which was a little unnerving before, because I was trying to sit here and do meditation, and I was going to ask you to have a look at the cards and see if that was the case, but I don't know if I want to do that. It could open a whole can of horse meat. So I don't know about that. I'll leave that up to you, whether you think it's good or not. But that's going to be on Saturday in Stanley Palace. But I'll tell you something about my dad once, when he was walking through Chester. He was walking through a place I think it's called Rocky Passage.
Mm-hmm.
and it was dark, and he was walking through here slightly downhill, and then in the corner of his eye he noticed there was something like this rocky passage. It's got like sandstone walls either side,
mm-hmm.
about, I don't know, maybe 12 foot each side, and the passage itself is probably maybe 6-8 feet across. It's probably more like 8 feet. And anyway, he saw a thing in this corner of his eye, and as he focused on it, it was a nun stood up against this wall, floating like 8 foot up this wall, stood with her back against the wall. And my dad said, I don't know whether you've ever been that scared of something that you find it really difficult to walk and you feel like suddenly you're walking through mud or something, but that's how he felt. And that, I think that stuck in his mind
a
lot for all these years.
Wow.
And I've always tried to keep my eye out for it down there, but I know recently the wall's collapsed and it's been cornered off with police tape. It's all the bad weather we've had. You know,
right.
That would have been scary to see. And I'm surprised, you know. I think there's been a couple of cases where I've been a bit rigid with fear and it's difficult to move. So I can imagine how we felt and how we walked in that time. But,
wow.
I mentioned about the library, didn't I?
Say it again.
When I was about 12, I was in Chester Library with my mum. My mum was over at the other corner. We liked the video section and that. I was just for DVDs. I don't think they had DVDs. No, I think it was just tapes and CD area. All the tapes around the walls, these three walls.
Right.
And in the middle, they had these shelves, freestanding shelves, with CDs on them. And my back turned to these shelves. And I was looking at the videos, and all of a sudden there was this almighty crash. And I turned around, and one of these shelves, every single CD had come off the shelf. Which, as I've said before on the previous show, it would have been impossible for me to actually try and shake that and forget
right.
them all in one go because of the lip, because they're all leaning in towards the shelf, double-sided shelf, about 4 foot tall, with a lip on the outer edge of the shelf, so the CDs would have had to lift forward
right.
from leaning inward and make it up over that lip. And for all of them to come off at the same time would probably be impossible for somebody to do. But everybody looked at me in the library with accusing eyes, and my mum was looking at me the same. And the librarian came running over and said, I said it wasn't me. He said, don't worry, it's happened before. So I believe that was poltergeist activity. And there's supposed to be a ghost of a Roman doctor which wanders through there as well, so... That's one of probably one of the best experiences of poltergeist activity I've had firsthand.
I'm going to tell you, honestly, I don't think I've ever had any. I mean, and I say that, whenever I say that to people, they're shocked. It's, you know, either I am, like, just so used to whatever, but I'm telling you, I've never really had anything that was, like, someone that came flying at me or, well, you know, there's things, there's, like, I've had experiences, but I don't chalk them up to poltergeist, like, you know, like, things like ladybugs, like several of them circling over my head or stuff. I've had experiences like that are more, you know, about, you know, nature and things like that. But I
yeah.
haven't really ever had, you know, something where I saw it. Well, no, that's not true. I have heard things. I've heard talking. Like there's a place when I walk down the stairs of my mother's house where I'm like I can stand there in the landing and I can hear conversations and nobody's there. That's one thing. But I'm not seeing, you know what I mean? That's it, I think. I think I've got to think about that because you know, like I said, you know, this just with what we do and all that, I'm just so used to things being, you know, the way they are. I may not even notice at this point if something is weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it tends to be quite normal for us to witness strange things when me and my family go away together. Something strange usually happens. The pictures are less and less, though. And the last time I went away in September and I stayed somewhere, there wasn't any presence or anything in the house at all. It was almost too empty and too plain. It's strange. It's hard to describe. It's like nothing there.
No
residual energy.
Really? Well, I'm going to ask you this question, and you just think about it. Do you think that you've just gotten so used to whatever that it's just not setting itself apart, or do you really feel like you're in a place that was completely empty?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I mean, there was a point where I thought I saw somebody walk past the window during the day.
Right.
I was like, what was that? So I said to them on my dad's straight away, I said, did you see somebody go past the window? But where it was, they would have had to walk through the hedge.
Right.
So that was the last one I went on. The other thing was, you know, I had that out of body experience in the room, but that's not really
right. One
thing. I don't know whether I told you though, but I went outside to have a look at the stars one night, and I'd never seen so many stars in my life. There were thousands of them. I was like, I couldn't believe you could see that many stars in the night sky, because normally I'm only used to seeing a handful of them.
Right.
It was packed with stars.
I remember, I'm not to interrupt you, but I remember the first time I saw that sort of sky. I was in this field. It was like a farm field, and there was a couple of us, and we were just kind of laying out there. No telling what we were laying in, you know, but you don't think about that when you're doing that. And it just, yeah, it was just like we were in the sky, you know what I mean? Just sort of looking at all, and they were so close. You know, they were just so close.
Well, I'd gone out there with my camera, and my mum was out there, and it was pretty much pitch black out there. And I was walking around trying to find the bench, and the sacred bench, and I was trying to film the stars, but I couldn't do it. So mum was nearby, and then I went a bit further over in the garden. It wasn't a massive garden. It was just like, you know, rectangular thing. Anyway, I was like looking, and there was about 5 minutes of silence, and then my mum, and I said, Mum, loudly, and she didn't answer. I thought, oh god, she's gone in or left me out here. So then I went to the back door, with my back to the back of the door, looking out at the stars, about to go in the house after my mum, and then there was this figure stood there, like about 6 foot in front of me, and I kind of stood there frozen with fear for a moment, and I said, Mum? And she went, yes. I was like, oh, thank God. I was about to fumble for the door handle and try and run inside with this tripod and my camera. It would have been a right mess, but dear. I thought it was, because I didn't think my mum was in the garden. But she'd gone inside. I was like, what is this? Who is this? I think I tried to communicate with it anyway. But let me think. The holiday before that, in 2010, we were staying at the coast. I couldn't sleep in that place. I could not sleep without the light on. I felt there was the presence of a young girl in the room, would leave me alone. So I didn't sleep very well that holiday. One night we heard a scream outside. Well, we were watching TV, me and my mum and my dad, just watching something, and there was a scream outside the window, kind of in the distance a little bit. I kind of didn't turn around or move or anything, because I thought, did I really hear that? And then I kind of like caught in the corner of my eye, my dad kind of looking at me, and I was like, looked at him. And we just looked at each other, and my mum didn't notice anything. We thought, that's not saying this to my mum. But I don't know what I was, because there wasn't many people living around there, and it was like a woman screaming.
Huh.
Maybe we should have gone and investigated, but...
yeah. But then, you know.
But then we thought, let's watch TV. and the other thing was, during the day, we were sat in the dining room, and all of a sudden, it was like someone had dropped a bowling ball on the floor from about 6 foot. Such a loud thud. We were trying to, as they say, debunk it. I had no idea what it could have been at all. That was strange. There's also the other thing, but that where we were staying, it's not really ghost or anything, but when I was sunbathing on the last day, it was a clear blue sky, hardly any clouds at all around apart from the nearby mountains, and all there was a cloud above me, which was exactly formed perfectly into a hand in the sky over the top of me. Well, it didn't look kind of like a hand, it was like an exact replica of a hand made out of clouds over the top of me, and I could have easily gone in and got my camera and taken a photo of it and astonished a lot of people with that, but I didn't feel like I was supposed to. It's one of those unexplained things of why and how. So,
well, let's take a little bit of a break. We're going to come back and we're going to take the caller at 617. We do have a few people in the queue, so we see you here. We see you here. And if anybody wants to talk, if anybody has a story to tell, about any ghost experience or any hauntings or just anything that feels, you know, supernatural to you, give us a call, 347-215-8421. The chat room is open, too. Haven't had a very lively chat room today.
No.
We've had a few people come and go, but not, you know, I opened up the chat room late, and so, you know. But anyway, let's take a little break, and when we come back, we will be talking to the caller at 617. This is Broken Earth Radio Show, and we'll be right back. We're back.
You know, that's the intro at the beginning of the show was pretty awesome. I think that's my favorite intro.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was, it was pretty good. Oh, yeah, it was pretty good.
Well, I loved Jurassic Park when I was a kid. I remember going to see it at the cinema in, like, 1993 or whenever it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Love dinosaurs.
Well, let's take the caller at 617, and right after that, we're going to take two calls back to back. We're going to talk to 617 and 337, so we can get start getting this line cleared up. But 617, this is Nunu and Bill at Broken Earth. How can I help you today, or how can we help you?
Hi, Nunu. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Hiya. All right. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I spoke with you guys, I believe, maybe a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, and you were trying to make it all about you, weren't you?
It's always about me, and you know that. You don't need me to tell you that. You should already know that.
Oh, my goodness, that was too funny. How have you been? How have your weeks been?
Pretty good. I had a pretty good week. I love the conversation that we had
yeah.
a couple of weeks ago. It was just, I mean, it was fantastic. And I went on the internet and I looked up Skinwalker.
Uh-huh.
They're not very good.
Well, no, let me tell you something. It's all, I know it seems like, because I actually was listening to the show, and I wanted to, I can't remember what I was hoping to be able to talk to you about exactly, because I was thinking that, like, if you did do some research on it, you may feel like, oh, my goodness, no. But the thing is, you got to remember the intent behind certain things.
Yes.
And what are you going to say, Bill?
Sorry. Continue. Sorry.
Oh, okay. And you also have to remember that are not actually – oh, this is what I was going to tell you. You're actually being a spirit walker and being a skin walker. Mm-hmm. Skin walkers are spirit walkers, but not all spirit walkers are skin walkers. That's what I was going to tell you. Because the thing is, you're not trying to take over somebody's body. So, but the thing is, this walking in you, but you have the capability of doing that if you were like that. You see what I mean? But right now, what you're doing is you're doing more of the walk.
Yeah.
You know, the wandering, this and that sort of thing. But anyway, that's and there may have been more, but I was thinking about, but I can't remember it because
the
last
funny
week.
Funny thing was
that
last show we were talking about hauntings, and we kind of gone to the subject of astral projection and sleep paralysis, because it kept coming up. I think two other people mentioned sleep paralysis.
Yeah, and they didn't even hear your thing, and everybody that was calling was talking about that. Sorry. Anyway.
It must have just been a topic we needed to talk about, because this kept coming up. So,
do you think it's something that there's something going on that this is happening?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to use a very, very, very bad example to define a very, very, very important thing. My sister and I were talking about werewolves, the real, real story of werewolves. And so, of course, we started talking about that movie and the books, Twilight.
Yeah.
And she was just, like, talking about how good she was feeling and how safe she felt knowing that there is a nation of natives that are, here to protect us from vampires. You know what I mean? We were just laughing about it because, it's kind of corny conversation. But the thing is that as a Native American, and remember, you have Native American ancestry. And remember, one of the things that one of the leaders said was that you can kill us, but we will always live, and we're going to live in your children, was one of the things that he had told. But anyway, it does sound scary, doesn't it? Mm. But the thing is, it's not a threat, it's a promise.
That's
promise.
Right.
So the thing is, it's something that's a part of your DNA. Mm-hmm. And so, but anyway, so if you think about it, there's a lot of people that are being forced to wake up. We're being shaken awake because there's things that are happening to our home. And our home is, we have pillaged and we have basically ruined where we live. And so there are parts of us that are being woken up in our DNA. And it's not just Native Americans. It's also, you know, the Aborigines. It's anybody who's actually where they live, who actually lives where they're from. Anyone who hasn't traveled to a different place, you know, because you're in your home, you're waking up to the things that are happening. But the thing is, we have to wake up and we have to see. And it's not just about our eyes being opened, but it's also about our souls being reminded of why we're really here, why we're truly connecting. I was watching a video that somebody posted on Facebook about this little boy who was supposed to be a prodigy. He could name all the orchestral instruments. From the age of two, he could remember all the music that he heard. But the thing is, he's just tapped in. He's still tapped into who he was before. I mean, it's of course he's a prodigy, you know what I mean? He's and all that stuff. If you look at him being just a brand new person on the earth, but the thing is, there's no such thing as new souls. So how can there be an old soul?
Well, the thing is as well, you know, does fall under autism as well.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you look at this from a spiritual standpoint instead of scientific, you're looking at someone who, you know, was ripped out of his life and then placed into another vessel, and he hasn't forgotten who he was.
Wow.
He remembers the core of who he is. And there's all kinds of scientific terms that people get, autism or whatever. But what it boils down to is that there is something that you're really supposed to be doing, and so you just ignore the everything else and you just hone in on what your real gift is, because that's where you were before.
Well, you know what's interesting, because today I went out for a walk, and I was standing on a small bridge overlooking a stream. And as I'm standing there, I'm just looking at the water. It's a beautiful day. I'm just looking at the water. I'm looking at the little specks that's on the water, and you know, looking at the different designs and shapes, and as the stream is moving. And I actually left my body.
Wow.
And I had to. I'm like, wait a minute. I need to come back. I was actually aware that. Wait a minute. I just left my body. I need to come back. Just a split second.
Have you tried? Did you try to develop your astral projection after our conversation as well?
Actually, I really want to work with somebody on that.
Right.
I don't want to try that. I don't really want to try that on my own.
Right.
I really like to talk with someone in regards to that, because I really want to start opening up to my spiritual gifts. I really want to do that. I think it's, again, like Nunu had said, I feel that it's time for me to start doing that. Because I'm actually seeing things in my house. I'm not afraid. It doesn't frighten me. But I'm like, boy, the veil must be really, really thin. You know, I would see things, you know, go across the floor, or I would see something move in the kitchen, or I would see a shadow on the wall. But I'm not afraid of this, and I'm like, why am I not afraid of this? This does not frighten me.
It's like
I see it.
Abilities?
I'm sorry.
Would you flash yourself as having any psychic abilities as well?
Yes.
Right.
And I feel like I'm really starting to open up. And again, this is not frightening me. It's not. As a child, I was very afraid of it. I mean, we spoke about that before. I was terrified.
Yeah.
But now it's like, okay, I see, there is something that's moving, and okay, that's what it is. Or, you know, I'll see something go across the floor, and I'm like, I'm not going crazy. I know I'm not going crazy. And I will look, and it's not there. But I never think in my mind, okay, am I hallucinating? Am I going crazy? I don't. That does.
Yeah.
That never pops. That never pops into my mind.
It's these peripheral vision things that you try and look at, and they disappear as soon as you try and look at it.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, like I've tried to, I might have mentioned it last time, tried to develop watching things in your peripheral vision without
right.
moving your eyes so you don't lose it, you know,
oh.
just to watch it. And I've done that before. Yeah.
Well, I've been doing, well, I was going to say, when I was saying that there's certain things that I haven't really experienced as far as, like, you know, like seeing things move across the room and that sort of thing. But as far as things in my peripheral, I've been seeing that a lot lately, but and normally I would say, well, maybe I'm not getting enough sleep. I'm actually getting sleep now. I mean, I really am. So it's. But I know that sometimes when you're not getting enough sleep, there are things that the veil is thinner. But the thing is, I'm getting plenty of rest, and I'm still seeing this black thing over in the corner waving at me.
Wow.
But
wow.
you know, and of course I turn around and I look because I really think it's somebody over there waving at me.
Right.
But yeah, I do need to kind of start probably, you know, turning my eyes, you know what I mean, to work on that a little bit better.
Leave one eye where it is and move the other eye.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I was aware of this, you know, even when, you know, as a young kid, I might have been maybe 15 or 16 years old. I was working as a... like a homemaker, and I remember walking into a client's living room, and what I saw, it was an impression that I got when I looked in the corner, was that I saw a bird cage, and there was a yellow, what kind of bird, I forgot the name of the bird, a canary. And I asked her, I said, did you ever have a bird? She said, yes. And I said, was it a yellow canary? She says, yes. And I said, you had it over in the corner? And she said, yes. And that was my first, that was my real first experience. Because when I walked in the living room, that's what I saw. To me, it was solid.
Right.
But there was nothing
right.
there.
So you're seeing imprint. So you were seeing the imprint.
Yes.
The energetic imprint that was
well,
left.
Well, I don't know if either you agree with this at all, but I find there's two kind of, you know, when you see something, there's two kind of... ways of seeing it. From my experiences, sometimes there's something actually there in the peripheral vision and you can actually watch it.
Mm.
And other times you see something, but it's like it's in your third eye.
Yeah.
You ever experienced the differentiate between the two? Yeah. Because I've experienced both of them where I'm actually watching something and then sometimes I've seen something and I know it's not actually there, but I'm seeing it more through my third eye.
Yes. Yes. That happened with me.
I saw when I was away on holiday, I didn't actually see it, but I knew it was with my third eye, the torso of a soldier, a red coat, stood near the tree line. And not only that, but my mum saw it as well. But I knew at that time that was more like a psychic vision than that, but some people might not have made the difference. You know, notice the difference between the two.
Difference. Yeah.
It's something I've not really thought about much, but I thought I'd bring that up because there does seem to be at least two different types of viewing things that might be residual energy, you know. Mm. So.
And it was interesting because there was one time when I actually, a friend of mine, we had gotten to know each other, and it scared the living daylights out of me. We were having a conversation, and I had just quickly turned my head away from him. And when I turned back at him and looked at him, it did not look like him. It looked like something else. And it just scared the heebie-jeebies out of me. I mean, my heart started racing, and I'm like, what in the world's going on? Because it was more of reptilian,
right?
Because
yeah.
I looked when I looked back and I'm like, okay, I'm freaking out here. I'm seeing something I've never seen before.
It's funny you should mention that because I know my dad's looked at me before and I know he's seen something else and not me, but he won't tell me what he's seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know that it's been something a bit disturbing, so it's,
wow.
I don't know, is that the individual? Or is
wow.
it, I don't know, it's I, maybe it needs something, needs a bit more
wow.
investigation, but I don't know what that means. I don't know what it could mean, whether it's you're seeing another side of the person or what. I
yeah.
don't know.
Yeah, but it just like, I mean, I looked and I had to keep my cool. I had to really be cool
well,
about
yeah.
this because what I saw, and I just he just had his face looking straight ahead. And when I
mm-hmm.
went to turn and look at him, it was not him. It just it happened so quickly that I'm like, what in the world is going on? This is like freaking me. When my heart starts beating this fast, it's not because, you know, I'm excited or anything. I'm scared because of what I just
right.
saw.
He said it looks reptilian.
It, to be, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right. Well, the thing is, I mean, I don't really know what to make of reptilians, really, but, I mean, looking at that point of view, just throwing it out there, either there's these, you know, possible reptilian shapeshifters, but I
yeah.
doubt there would have been one of them. Or the
that's
fact
what
that
I felt. That's what, that's what I
right.
thought when I saw him, that he was a shape. That's what I felt when that happened, because I knew that there was something about him that was very different, very, very different. And
right.
It was at a time where I should have been more careful. I should have been more careful because I was waking up spiritually and I was experiencing a lot of things and I was not taking what was coming to me seriously. And
nice.
After he kind of went off and went in, you know, moved away, got another job in a different place, I felt a sense of relief because there was something that if I was to continue to be around this individual, it was not going to be a good thing. There was just something.
Right.
There was just something about him. Even though I was drawn to him, there was something about him that scared the living daylights out of me. And when I saw him from the profile, then I realized, okay, something just happened here. And I loved,
so
I don't know if you remember this. I'm sorry?
Was it a friend of yours, did you say? Or
we were coworkers, and we were just...
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, we were just attracted to the same things. I was reading a lot of spiritual books at the time and just starting to really open up, and, you know, we just had great conversation. But there was just something that was not that I should have picked up on, which I picked up on, but I moved it aside.
Right.
I ignored it. I ignored it. So when he moved on and went to another company in another town, I felt a sense of relief, and I felt like I dodged the bullet on this. Even though he never came off as being a dangerous person, but there was something that was there that if I was to be alone with this person, it would not have been. I might not have come out alive.
Right.
But is he tall? Or anything, or a big guy? Or...
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. But there was something.
Right.
There was something that drew me to him, but there was something that repelled me as well. And it wasn't that he was this horrible-looking person. He was very articulate, very attractive, and but there was something that was there that if I was to ever be alone with him in any type of situation, I was not going to come out alive.
If somebody, I think somebody wants to know a bit more details of what he looked like. Like, they want to know whether he had a pointy chin or what. I know you probably only saw it for a split second, but...
his head, to me, his head was... from what I saw from the profile, his head was abnormally... It was a lot larger. It was... What I saw, it was huge. And
right.
I've never seen that before, and it frightened me so bad that it was like, okay, take a breath here. And it just scared me, and it because I knew there was something. I knew that there was something about him that I could not put my finger on. But I knew that
right.
that to be alone with him, I was not going to come out of this alive.
Wow.
So when he left,
a lot of stuff about reptilians, and I've always been on the fence about them. But I've heard from somebody, Terry Rich Walters, who's written the book "Who on Earth Am I," which I spoke to. He's had first-hand experience, and people, because he's a healer, you see, and with his healing powers, people normally get visited by non-terrestrial beings,
mm-hmm.
and one of them was. That visits these people and again healed by this Terry Walters is a reptilian doctor.
Wow.
And it's not until, you know, I hear from people who've witnessed these things firsthand that, you know, I believe that there could be some truth in it. But like I said, I've always been on the fence about it. Now, if I was in your position, and I tend to overanalyze things, if I was in the position where you were, I would have thought to myself, now, a couple of things, what it could be that possibly a reptilian shapeshifter, as crazy it sounds. Or the other fact is that I've heard that people have reported that they can actually tap into people's energy.
Mm.
And the other thing is as well that perhaps if you were both interested in the same things and spiritual things, and there was supposed to be a bit of powerful connection there that's going to lead on to positive things, then maybe another force is at play to put you off there,
yes.
to put you off that, if you know what I mean.
I
by
really feel
making
that.
Him appear in this way.
Yes.
So
because it was dark, because I knew there was something that was dark, and it just and it's like, what is going on? What? Why do I feel this? Why do I feel this way? That I mean, again, articulate, successful. He's bright. He's well liked, and. That's what I saw, but I also saw something else that was a lot darker.
Right.
And it's like when he left,
well,
I felt that sense of relief, and I'm like, okay, I have to start going with my gut instinct and not pushing this aside. It taught me a lesson. It really taught me a lesson, a valuable lesson.
Right.
Is that if my gut instinct is saying this does not feel right, even though it may look right, but my gut is saying you need to turn around and run. You need not to be with this person. You need to take a left and not a right. You need to jump and not. Yes, I've had to learn to do that because this scared the living daylights out of me. It really did. And I see, and then sometimes I see that in people. I see beyond that, and I just see things in people. It's like, no, and I don't explain
right.
it. I don't explain it to people. It's like, you know what? I'm not going there, or this doesn't feel right to me. And I just learned to follow my gut instinct. If it says, you know what, you need to take a left, not a right. I listen.
Right.
I really, really listen. But before I go, because I love talking with the two of you, have you or Nunu have seen a show on the Travel Channel that's called The Dead Files?
The Dead Files?
Yes.
I haven't seen it.
No.
On the
but I'll check it out. I'll check it out.
Yes. Her name is Amy, and she's a psychic medium.
Right.
And she does investigations on... if people are having disturbances in their homes, and oh my gosh, this girl is, I don't know how she does it, but the things that she sees and experiences when she walks through people's homes is unbelievable. That scares me.
I'll check that out.
Yes, on the Travel Channel. She's very, very good.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling us
thank
again.
Thank you. I love talking with you guys.
What was your name again? Sorry, I slipped my mind.
It's Annette.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Again.
I like the fact
and
that you you confirming that I'm not cuckoo.
Maybe
cuckoo
we all
for Cocoa Puffs.
Maybe we all are.
That makes me feel so much better.
we can all refuse to take our medication together. Well, thanks for calling us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take
all right,
care.
Thank you.
Have a blessed
take
day.
Care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, she's always fun to talk to. Always lots of fun to talk to. There's a movie that I wanted to suggest to people out there. It's it is called Red Lights, and it's one of the reasons I really like the movie. And it's not just because Cillian Murphy and Sigourney Weaver, but also because it's coming from the point of view of things that are more skeptical, like people that are being more skeptical. But it's a good movie. Robert De Niro's in it too. But check it out. It's called Red Lights. If you have Netflix streaming, you can stream it right after the show. But yeah, it's a great, great, great movie. And let's hurry up. Let's go right in and take another call, okay?
All right.
Because the show's running short. So we got to make let's take a couple of calls. We're going to keep them kind of short because we want to talk about some more stuff and we want to close the show out properly. But I'm 337. This is Broken Earth. How can we help you? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, we dropped the call. So let's just move right on to 317. 317, this is Broken Earth Radio Show. How can we help you?
Hi, this is Jamie. Thanks for taking my call. Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to see if you see a new job coming in. I'm just going to explain while you look. I had mono last year. And I went on unemployment in January. And then in September this year, I got a new job. And not even 14 weeks after that, I hurt my back. And so I've been on workman's comp. It's just, I don't know what's going on with these jobs.
Hold on. There might be something more going on with you, okay?
Yeah.
Hold on just a moment. Let's see what's going on with you.
Thank you.
I'm everywhere. As far as you finding another job, I am seeing you find something. It's not going to be very far off.
Does it look good? Can you tell?
From what I can tell, it's pretty simple. I mean, it says that you're going to be a high priestess for the King of Cups. And what that basically means is, whatever type of work you're going to be doing, you're going to be doing something that involves taking care of people in some way. So if it's customer service, it's customer service. If it's helping people, because the King of Cups, honestly, when I really just kind of plug into this, it looks like you might be working directly for someone, like if you were working for a group home, if you were working for, it's just something involving taking care of people. But let me tell you something. You're going through your last cycle that you were in, the cycle before that, the cycle you're in right now. There's something that's going on with you, like the cycle where you first hurt yourself. Your sword is upside down, so it's like there's some sort of power that it seems like you're supposed to be relinquishing for a little bit. Then after that, you're in a cycle that's about how you get along with people, and the cycle you're in right now is also one that's about commitments, contracts, promises. It's kind of interesting, you know. But anyway,
I'm sorry? You got a short. So it's kind of like a karma thing, maybe, possibly.
Well, there's some things going on with you for experience, but honestly, when I look at this, it looks like you're supposed to be And I know this is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing
okay.
for me to say. Because
no, but
I'm so
I feel that way.
adamant about people being able to, no matter what, trying to still be able to take care of themselves. You're
mm-hmm.
in a position where you're supposed to be able to count on other people. Like there's other people's, like you're supposed to be exercising your faith in other people. You're supposed to be, you know, this card here is actually something that's about marriage, promises, you know, about people that are you were supposed to be able to count on. And it's a very karmic time period in your life because it's about faith. It's about the faith that you have in other people, the faith you have in the things that they say, and also people in turn, if they've made you promises, the challenge that it is for them to be able to keep them. So, I mean, you're going through some really extreme things right now, but in your domino effect, something happened that made you kind of have to surrender control, and then after that it's about, you know, it's about how well you're getting along with the people that you actually share your cups with, your emotional flow, that sort of thing. So, but like I said, you know, it's so deep.
Yeah, it makes sense, though. It actually really makes sense, spot on, because I have a mom that's really not very right, and I've had to kind of make her right this time. I can't really have faith in her, but yeah, so that's kind of it.
But remember, it's also going to be exercising yours too. You know what I mean? Your stuff as well. But this is the deal, and I don't want to, you know, drag you out into a whole different thing. Make sure that you're still able to balance being able to actually live your life with this stuff. Like I have a memory of a client I had about 10 years ago who gave up her life to take care of her family. And then the next thing you know, she's now 60 and she's, her life. And so we don't want to have been derailed in such a way that we just lose it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay.
I'm with you. Thank you.
All right, dear. Thank you so much, Jamie.
Thank you. Have a great day. I appreciate the reading.
Thank you so much.
Oh, before you go,
uh-huh.
Are you still there?
Yes.
I was going to say, I have a feeling there's going to be something of significance happening on the 18th of March for you, something positive,
really?
I think, so keep your eye out for that.
So it's going to be something good?
Yes, I feel it's going to be something positive, yeah, on the 18th of March.
Okay. I will be watching that. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right, dear. Let us know. Okay.
I will. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
What's up?
Nothing.
Well, before, because we have not done any of this at all during this episode, go to our website if you want to. You know, if anybody wants private reading, I'm available for that. That's our website, Broken Earth Radio. If anybody is listening to this in on demand, because that's where we get a lot of our listeners, thousands of them. He's over-exaggerating, and I'm not. in the thing where the pictures flash by, that little area there, where, you know, our website is listed. Also, if you want to find me and Bill on Facebook, you can look at Broken Earth Radio at Facebook. Also, Psychic Nunu, there's a page for her on there. And if you want to get in touch with Bill, if you just want to be able to just kind of sit back and just write something to Bill, you can get in touch with him at BillDoyle@live.com. That's Bill Doyle, D as in David, O-Y-L-E, @live.com. Let's take this Skype caller real quickly, and then that's going to be the last call we may take unless somebody has got an emergency, and then because we there's some things that we need to talk about. But Skype caller, this is Broken Earth. How can we help you?
Hi, how are you?
Very good, very good.
Hi. We'll see if you see any relationship coming up.
any relationships? Is there somebody you wanted to talk about in particular, or you just want to see if there's just somebody coming in?
Somebody I'm thinking of.
What now?
Somebody I'm thinking of.
Okay, what's your friend's name and what's your name too, dear?
Rose Maria and Ralph.
Your name, you said his name is Ralph?
Right.
Okay, hold on just a moment. Okay, you want to see if, see what's going on with Ralph and Rose Maria. Hold on just a moment, dear. Okay. Where is Ralph, honestly? Where is he?
In a different country than I am right now.
Yeah, he's there's distance. I'm going to tell you this because, you know, we got to, there's a lot here. There's a lot here. But I'm going to tell you this. I do see you with Ralph. But you're just being basically told that there's delay to when you'll be with Ralph, but when it happens, it's going to all come together pretty quickly. So basically, if I was just going to kind of map this out into a timeline for you, it's a mess. Hold on just a moment. There
cool.
is. It's, I do see him like, oh, gosh, this is so private, but I'm just going to throw it out there to you. I do kind of see him making it to where you are around, like, and I'm estimating, maybe September, okay? If he's supposed to be there sooner, I'm not going to say no because I do see him trying to make it to where you are. But the only thing is that I see him make it around, and then there's all this drama. There's all this drama, and then after another stretch of time, just like maybe a few months, 3 months or so, he's back around again. So I mean, seriously, I mean, I hope this stuff makes sense to you. I hope this makes sense.
Yeah, from last summer when I
okay.
was there.
You know what I mean? Because I do see him,
yeah.
And I see him wanting to be with you. I see him making it, but then a bunch of stuff happens, and it looks like he's not going to be able to, it looks like he has to go back home, and then it looks like after a period of time, he comes back again. So you're really dealing with this battle of him being able to be here. Okay?
Yeah, that's what happened
last
summer.
But the love is here. The love is here. I'm not worried about that. It's just about, you know, keeping him here, him being able to stay here. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Okay?
Okay. Not me relocating.
No, I know. I'm seeing him do it.
Gotcha. So September, you said, and 3 months after that, the drama, whatever. Happy stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, cool. Thank you.
Okay. Hang in there. Hang in there, sweetie.
Thanks.
All right.
See ya.
Bye. All right. Okay. What's going on in the chat room?
Well, if you want to read.
It says.
Check it out.
Oh, so you can't even say words to me.
No. I was just on a different tab, you see, checking something out.
No, that's what, I'm just teasing you. I was wondering if you have time. It's about a resume writer, a flashy resume, talking resumes. Well, I'll tell you this. Keep your resume on one page. Keep your resume as brief as possible, because when I used to read resumes, because I worked in human resources for a while, if it was too much, I guess I can say this, nobody looks at the second page. So try to keep everything on the first page. try to keep things as short as possible, basically saying your last three jobs or your good three jobs, and then all the second page stuff that you have, which would be about your interests and the stuff that makes you awesome. Keep it all on one page, because if you're giving somebody a book, they're not reading it. And also, when you have the interview, don't walk out of that interview unless you know you have the job. If it's one of those things where they're telling you we have other applicants, just say, okay, that's, you know, however you can exit the interview, but just keep looking, because if they don't tell you, usually you're not going to get hired. She said, my office work is just from 2000, 2005. Well, just like I said, give a brief.
5007.
She was on 5007? You're amazing. Give whatever it is that you really want to talk about. Like if you really want to talk about your office work, and everything else has been hard labor. Okay, what you basically want to say is from blah 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 to blah blah blah, I did this. But when you want to talk about your office work, make that the lengthiest stuff that you talk about. Talk about where you've been recently first. And then the other stuff last that you really want them to be checking out. But no matter what you really want them to see needs to be longer. It needs to be bigger. But don't go to a second page because they're not looking at it. I mean, it's different if you're going for a job where you're submitting your vitae to be, you know, because you're a physician or something like that. But I'm telling you, they hardly go to the second page.
So what if you make the fonts like really, really small and cram it all on there?
Well, just make it simple, make it easy, and then in the interview you sell yourself. You want to interview the person that's interviewing you. So when they're talking to you about what's interesting, you know what I mean? When you're talking about like Bill, act like you're the person interviewing me and just ask me about my work experience.
So noted. Can you tell me about your work experience?
Yeah, I was a farmer and I was baling hay for the past few years, but that was.
Did you milk cows?
I milked cows too, you know. But what I really the favorite thing I ever did was when I was an astronaut. That and I really have wanted to be an astronaut, but I've been waiting to get back into the astronautical program. However. Since that's something that they shut down, I started thinking about other things I'd like to do, and I was reading, and I really dig your company. What kind of benefits do you offer your employees? And that's how you turn it around and you start.
Cows to milk. Space cows as well, you astronauts. Sorry, I didn't mean to make a joke out of it. No,
yeah, but you're basically saying how you can kind of talk about some of the things that you used to do, but what you really want to be doing and why you want to work for that company. Then you ask them what they can do for you, and then you ask them when do they want you to show up. Well, I really want to milk your cows because I'm telling you, you have the best cow milkers, or you're the best cows in the country, you're in the best cows in the world, and I can be here as early as Monday. So when do you want me here?
And you're hired.
There you go. But if they tell you, well, we have other people to talk to, just keep stepping, just keep going. Okay, all right. But anyway, let me. How much time do we have left? We have about 15 minutes left. So. Tell us another scary story, Daddy.
Well, I wanted to talk about, actually, Ghost Adventures.
Yeah.
Briefly, because you've seen that, I mean, Ghost Adventures. Zach Bagans and Nick Roth and Aaron Goodman. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at those guys.
Oh. Well, I was watching one the other day, Return to the Goldsmith House or Hotel or something.
Uh-huh.
And it was scary. Not a lot of things scare me, but it was scary. They showed footage from last time they were there. There was, like, old stuff flying around, like bricks being thrown and stuff. They had, like, the PX device where it captures, like, voices. And they had the energy to use voices to come through, and it was just going, kill, kill, kill. And then it was, like,
quiet.
Just making, like, loads of horrible noises coming out of it. And in the other room, they found a mirror smashed on the floor, and there was no mirror in that room to start off with. It's crazy. And that was a Goldsmith House thing, but the owner was really hard to get hold of. And they were actually going to go to a place that was next door. And they saw the owner was there, so they ended up going to the Goldsmith House because it was just so difficult for them to get
right. The
opportunity to go in there. So the timing must have been right, but you need to check that out if you can. I think you should have slightly... Something like they're going back to the Goldsmith House or hotel for the second time.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was cool, actually, the other week, they were actually did ghost hunting with the guy who played Jason on Friday the 13th and the guy who played Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw Massacres. And there's a stuntman as well there who actually doubled for them and played monsters in that film. So it's cool having those actors from those movies, the early ones.
Right.
Going around with them as well, so it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, they're like the rock stars, the bad boys of ghost hunting, and that's why I was laughing, because their hair, they always do.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I prefer the newer series, because the early ones, they did seem to mess around quite a lot, and I was just like, oh, come on, just get on with it. But it is good. It's cool. And like I said, I'm going myself on Saturday with the Spirit Quest team to do some ghost hunting myself, so 6 hours till 2:30 in the morning, so I'm going to take my dictaphone with me as well, and a camera, I think, so that'll be interesting.
I'm just in the chat room. Jamie is talking about, you know, tarot classes. And I think that would be a... Tarot classes. That's actually a really idea for a show, is to have people bring their decks onto the show and then, give a thing for people to do.
Well, I was using mine at the weekend, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That was the kind of flight. That is all.
I don't use Rider-Waite now, but one of the things
What's
I suggest
that?
It's a deck. It's a tarot deck, Rider-Waite.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's one of the simpler tarot decks. It's like one of the starter tarot decks that a lot of people use, because it doesn't have a whole lot of the glitz and the glory that some of the decks that are made to just be pretty use. And
so it's
pretty more
from the eyes, like a normal pack of cards or something.
Right, exactly. I use one that's called the Vision Tarot by Tim Thompson. But
I
one
use,
of the what?
Cat people
that your sister gave
cat,
you.
Cat people tarot cards.
Cat people tarot. Well, one of the things that I suggest that you do.
Cat people.
I'm just going to choke you. One of the things that I suggest that you do is to anybody who's out there listening, because I think that we should do that. I think that we're going to not make it totally a show, but just something that we can do. Is that grab your decks. If anybody's interested, grab a deck over the next week and go through your deck and look at the cards. Put the book to the side for just a little bit, okay? But look at the cards. And I want you to look at the cards, pick 13 cards that mean something to you. Actually, don't put the book to the side just yet. What you do is you just kind of read through the higher arcana first. Look at the cards that, like, let's say you want to be a baker. Say you want to be a baker and you want to own your own bakery. Go through the cards and look at what reminds you of that. Like, you want to be an empress because you want to run the bakery yourself. You're a high priestess because you're creative and you want to make lots of pretty cupcakes. You see yourself drawn to the Queen of Coins because you want to have lots of money. Just basically look through the deck and just pick out 13 cards, starting with the higher arcana, which is the first. It's the first 20-something odd card, and just sort of pick out a few that mean something to you, and then go through the regular cards and figure out what means wealth and security and just whatever it is that you really, really want to have for your life. okay, and just go through the deck, what have you. And those cards there, keep those cards out, put the other cards back in the box, put them away nice and cozy, and just use those 13 cards, and those are going to become your power cards. And get to understand the meaning of those over the next week. Just only those cards there, only those cards there. And from that point, we're basically going to show you, we can teach you how you can start using your intuition when you actually start using readings based upon just those main cards there, and you can start seeing what you have in common with someone else, what someone else has in common with you when those things start coming out when you're actually doing spreads. But that's, I'm telling you too much. Basically, pick out 13 cards that mean something to you, and then just sit the rest of the side and study those cards, sleep with those cards, keep those cards in your pocket, all that. And on the other side of this, we'll show you how you can start assimilating the cards back into the deck, and we're going to start you out with some 3-card spreads. And we're going to have you answer questions that you already know the answer to. Because not only are you trying to learn how the meanings of the cards, you also want to learn what the pictures mean to you. Because when I started reading cards, I was very little, and I was literally reading stories. And the stories were true. So it's showing you how you can not only read the cards from what you see in the pictures, but also read the cards from what they really mean. And then you'll also start seeing how cards have different meanings based upon what it is that you're going through. One card could have 30 different meanings, but they're all true because of different stories that are happening in your life. We have about 7 minutes left, and I want to play that song at the end of the show, Not the Desiderata. Can I do that?
What about the moon? What's on the screen?
Yeah.
I was going to say about the tarot. If you want to go into more deeply, I think probably 2 weeks today is probably a good time, because I know next week we'll probably have to do a Hauntings Part 3. Because I'll be giving an update for the ghost hunting on Saturday.
Yay!
And I've still got more to talk about anyway. So,
we don't have
Haunting
time.
Part 3 Tuesday.
We don't have time to listen
the
to
week
that
after. Oh, don't we?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Kevin. I'm sorry.
So, Hauntings Part 3 next Tuesday, and whatever else comes up. And the week after that, maybe you could give some tarot reading information.
Okay. But what I'll do, if it's all right with you, this episode and then the next episode too, will get people geared up with their cards, so that when they come to that episode, they can talk about what certain things are happening. Yeah. But as far as anybody who's listening to this on demand, Jamie, you know, anyone else, go through your cards, pick out 13 that really make you feel like this is what I want to be, or this is what I want, this is who I am. 13 cards, and put the rest away and only focus on those 13. Yeah.
Cool.
And next week we're going to have Ghost and Hauntings 3.
Yeah. You still got Linkin Park song loaded up there, or are you taking it off?
I can't take anything off. I haven't figured out how to do that. Oh, poop. What's it called?
Well, it was either Castle of Glass or Skin to Burn.
Okay, well, if we're going to play it, we need to play it pretty soon.
Any time at the end. Play the intro again, because it's pretty awesome. Or maybe you should play the intro first and then play Linkin Park.
Okay, let's hook that, because he's on it.
Living Things, a new album that I've been obsessed with the past few weeks. It's just awesome.
Okay, we're going to play the intro again.
Yeah, because I like Jurassic Park.
All right. Broken head.
Take me down to the fighting end. Wash the poison from off my skin. Show me how to be whole again. Fly me up on a silver wing. Past the black where the sirens sing. Warm me up in an overglow. And drop me down to the dream below. Cause I'm only a crack in this castle of glass. Hardly anything left for you to see. For you to see. Bring me home in a blinding dream. In this castle of glass, of the end.